When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Adjacent. You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
Am I the only person in America that has never seen The Wire?
Oh.
That is terrible.
Oh, this is a really hard way to start this show.
It's okay. It's all right.
This is a really hard...
I can't watch everything, man. I can't watch everything.
That's not everything, though. That's the only thing.
Right.
That's the only thing. The Wire isn't everything. It's the only thing.
The only thing. We got to redo your
everything. People say that about everything. People say that's Sopranos and Game of Thrones and
they're all second at best.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to watch it. I will say it took me three starts, my third start to watch it. Like, I remember starting to watch and I was like, why can't I get into the show? And I'm a journalist my whole career. I'm like, this should be right up my alley, you know, because they have a journalism season.
Yeah.
Each season focuses on like a different part of like Baltimore. And a buddy of mine, a guy who's the movie critic, was like, watch it with the subtitles. And I said, you know, I can't do that because my kids watch everything with the subtitles. That's the Gen Z thing, right? Is that everybody watches
so much.
I hate it with
why I don't get why they do it. It ruins everything.
It ruins the punchline, especially in things that are funny.
Yes. That's my biggest problem with it is my dad does it because he can't hear as well. And he's watching Ted Lasso and he can't always pick up. If you can't hear well, and it's in a British accent, half of it at least, then you're going to miss a lot of stuff. So he watches it with the subtitles, and they spell out the joke before the person says it. I hate it.
But I will say, so my buddy says, Rene Rodriguez, who was the film critic for a long time at the Miami Herald, he's like, watch it with the – just trust me, watch with the subtitles. And what you realize is that the Baltimore accent is a subtle one, but it's just enough to throw you off from where you are. Having that for like watching live like the first show, the first episode with that was the key that unlocked it for me.
Wow. I've never seen it with the subtitles. The next time I watch it, I will put it on because I usually watch it at least twice a year. I'll just rewatch the whole thing.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I've seen it way more times than I should probably admit. But next time I watch it, I'll watch it with the subtitles and see if I have a different experience. Because still, I've seen it like probably like 10 times. And every single time I watch it, including the most recent one, I pick up something new. I learn something like, oh, like I didn't even realize that had happened. And so it's a phenomenal show, Jason. It literally has something, a relatable scene to like anything that would ever happen in life, like anything. And they examine the Baltimore drug trade from every angle, including the drug dealers, the police, the children, the school systems, and the newspaper, the Baltimore Sun. So it's fun and politics as well. That's another huge part of it. So it's really, really good.
And it came out during the time where this guy Jason Blair, the Fabulist, who was making up stories and what have you. And it was one of the seasons like came after that whole thing. So that plays into that season is a character that looks inspired by those events. So I thought that was interesting too, you know?
Yeah. A lot of it was born out of the show prior to that. It was a show called The Corner. And it was set in Baltimore, kind of similar. But a lot of the characters from The Wire were also in The Corner.
Oh, snap. I wasn't aware of that. School us on that then. Where can we see that? And what was the storyline on that?
I don't really know where The Corner is available. I'm sure it's on one of the streaming sites. I just don't know. I don't watch it that much. I probably watched it maybe twice. It's not as good as The Wire. It's not in that. It's not even in that stratosphere, really. But it is good, though. It's called The Corner. It's mostly centered around this kid, DeAndre, and his you know, kind of coming of age in the streets of Baltimore. His dad's an addict. His mom's an addict. And it's just, you know, it's kind of a similar story. It's just the streets of Baltimore, but it's really good. It's really good too. Just not The Wire good. Not like The Wire or Sons of Anarchy or, you know, Heisenberg or nothing like that.
Is Idris Elba on The Wire?
Yes.
And is he, I've never seen The Wire. Does he play an American character or a British character?
He plays a Baltimore drug kingpin.
Okay. So he's doing his American accent.
I'm telling you, the first time I heard him speak in his normal voice, I was like, what? I was like completely blown away because I'd only seen him on The Wire. And so when I saw him do an interview on somebody's television show, I was like, no way he talks like that.
Is this, you're like, am I listening to the dubbed version for London? everybody's English accents, all of a sudden they're dubbed over into the Queen's English or the King's English now, I guess you could say.
He had a run on The Office too, where he just played a middle manager type, and he had I don't understand why the Brits and the Australians can do the American accent so well.
So well.
And so well that you don't even know like Hugh Jackman or Idris Elba is not from America until you see him in an interview.
When Americans,
but it doesn't go the other way.
No, we all said like Americans all sound like, you know, they're from Cockney all of a sudden. That's like the only accent anybody knows. Everybody's like, oi.
Really exaggerated. Yeah. Oh.
This is my son, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what my dad did when we went to Italy. He spoke to them in broken English, thinking they would understand that better. But he just sounded like Borat. Herb loves that story. I had to tell my dad. I told my dad the other day. I said, "Hey, I'm sorry that I told that story again on the podcast because I know I've brought it up like 10 times in 3 years."
It's so good though.
They
it's
just
so
keep good. Bringing it up on me though.
Did he get his feelings hurt? I'm sorry.
No, he doesn't. But I don't want to keep hitting him over the head with it.
I don't know. I think that's like a character. Like now your dad is the off-camera character and we have to build him. And I like that. I like that, that he would go to Italy and be like, hey, I would like to order some pasta. This is my son, Jason.
Yeah.
I have been studying your language for many years.
I can't keep doing this.
Hey.
I'm sorry. I'm going to be like Brady at the roast and be like, hey, don't say again.
Hey, that's not a joke. Okay. We don't joke about that.
All right.
Oh, so Idris Elba, right? So his agent, he was like not a big deal before The Wire. And his agent told him, when you go there, do not tell them that you are British because they want a gritty American, like they're casting for a gritty American gangster, you know. And he faked it. Like from the first interview to the very end, they were like, yeah, we love you, but tell us, where are you from? And he's like, my agent had told me, don't say anything. And then he's like, I'm from London in his accent. And then like two guys like exchanged money.
Like, I knew it.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew he wasn't. But he played it really well, man. I was surprised.
Yeah, he played the hell out of that. He did it really, really well. So I wonder if like British movies, there has to be a few like American actors that hop into their movies. And then are they much better at the accent than like the average American? I imagine there's a couple.
Yeah, we need to have a Brit on this. You need to have a Brit on this show and ask them those questions because I'm not sure. You know which one surprised me is I'm watching what is it called? The Crown on Netflix. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my wife watched it.
The guy that plays the king, like King Charles, Prince Charles at the time, the oldest version, like the latest version, is McNulty from The Wire.
Really?
And I was like, it didn't fit inside my head because, you know, he had that Baltimore accent. All of a sudden he's like, oh, but Diana, we can't stay together. Oh, I can't live with you. I need someone more erudite. And it was when I saw the credits, I was like, hey, who is this actor? And I saw that those were the same guys. I'm still getting over it.
He's another person that surprised me when I first heard him talk. I was like, wait, I thought he was just American dude too. They were all good.
You're looking around that all of a sudden during the show, people are looking around. Is everybody here British? Jesus, who's American here?
The British actors can do like very nuanced American accents too. Like you're talking about the Baltimore. It's not just all the New York accent. that you would think would be the most prominent, like in Succession. Did you either of you guys watch Succession on HBO?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay. I've seen that one.
I guess main character. There's a lot of main characters, but the guy that plays Tom is British.
Yes.
And Matthew McFadden, I think, is his name. And that character is from Minnesota. So he's got to do just generic American, the most generic of the American accents.
But it's
different. I want to say Shiv, that almost everybody is British. The woman on the show, she's Australian. Brian Cox is British, the guy that plays the kind of like the head of the family. And it's like only Macaulay Culkin's little brother who's American. It's like, wait a minute, what's happening here? And the other guy who's the guy that plays Kendall. Logan Roy. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, Kendall, the son.
He's American also.
One more that surprised me, if y'all seen Snowfall, was the lead character in Snowfall. I can't think of his name right now.
I have not seen that one.
Yeah, but he plays a drug kingpin like Compton. And first time I heard him, so I was like, no way. Like, are any of y'all from here?
Is that the Damson Idris plays Franklin Saint?
Yep.
What is that? That Idris should be a tell.
All right. Anytime somebody named Idris, it must be.
He's a British guy. You just told on yourself, British guy.
There's so much good TV out there now with the streaming services.
Yeah.
And there was plenty back in the day when HBO was kind of the premier premium channel, if you want to call it that, when they were putting out Sopranos and things like that. I've just accepted at this point that I'm not going to see everything.
Yeah.
There will be shows I don't see, and maybe I will check them out. And you've got maybe 3 episodes at most to hook me, but I've never seen a second of Game of Thrones.
Me neither.
And if there's a clip that goes viral where, you know, someone left a coffee cup in the scene or something, like a Starbucks cup in the scene, I think that was in their finale, wasn't it?
Yeah. There's somewhere along that. Yeah. I remember.
Never seen The Wire. Did not watch Breaking Bad. I tried to. My wife and I watched the first episode, thought that was awesome. We watched the second episode. They were trying to dissolve a guy's body in a bathtub. And we were like, I don't think this is for us. This will just have to be a thing we hear about.
It gets very dark.
But even now you have shows like White Lotus that's the name of it, right? The hotel one. Yeah. That one's been extremely popular. I haven't seen it. I'm not going to be able to see everything.
You know what I was thinking? Is there... When was the last scripted sports TV show that you watched? Like those series.
Easy for me.
What was that?
Oh, easy for me. It was Winning Time. Winning Time on HBO, which is a tragedy because I hated what happened to that show. I can't believe it. Turns out me, Russ, and Tony were the only ones watching it.
And me, I watched it. I watched all of it.
It killed me because I loved that show. That show was fun, man.
John C. Reilly. Yes, that's the word that it didn't take itself seriously. It was just it was like a
not a documentary. It's not the drama is not super high end. It's just fun. Every episode is fun.
Yeah, I regret that they canceled that after 2 seasons because
nobody was watching it.
Because F Boston, right?
Everything about that show was great, except for then how they had to end it. They had to condense the last 10 years of what really happened into the one season finale. It was just over because the show had gotten canceled. That's one of the reasons why that's one of the things I don't like about TV, whether you're talking about network TV or streaming TV, is as opposed to a movie, there is no plan necessarily for the TV show.
Right.
They make a pilot. They hope that gets picked up. And this is true on the streaming services too. Unless you're some huge name, you probably don't maybe have to like get them to approve a pilot. Maybe you get a full run right out of the gate if you're Adam McKay. But so much of it is based on, so much of the story gets affected by business.
Yep.
It gets affected by, oh, we got picked up for a second season. Oh, we got picked up for another season. Oh, we're getting canceled. Now we have to end it. And oh, so-and-so's
the lead character is going somewhere else.
This person's leaving because of contract reasons, or we didn't pay up for them. So, you know, now we got to change the story. And the thing that irritates me the most probably is you get these shows where It appears to me as though they had a great idea for season one, and they even had a pretty good arc for, okay, how to make this maybe three seasons. And then you get into season four or five, and it's just dragging on.
It's just foolish.
And the episodes become just filler. The episodes
It's Fonzie on water skis.
I don't get that reference, but it's
the Fonz on water skis.
Oh, Fonzie. I was thinking you were talking about Fozzie Bear from the
movie. I was like, I know that you're not as old as I am, but I was like, you're that's the jump.
Jumping the shark.
Yeah.
I don't like when dramatic shows, comedy shows, it doesn't really matter. If you got enough jokes to carry nine seasons, good for you. 30 Rock, I think, did that pretty well. Like, the storylines were whatever, but the jokes, the episodes are still funny all the way through. The Office was kind of up and down a little bit toward the end. But when you get in these dramas where they're stretching it out into season seven, you get episodes where it's just like, you know, the adventures of Carlos and Herb. That's it. It's like, right, let's just have a, you know, they're going to have this. It's like an episode of Paw Patrol. Like, it doesn't build on anything.
Where it's Herb just, and I both let's, do.
Let's throw them into some hijinks and then they get out of it by the end of the episode and it advances the story zero.
I love, let's do it. Let someone green light that. Like, and Herb and I will both do accents that we don't know how to do. Right. We'll just pick a country and we'll do that accent. We'll do that accent. I think that'll go over.
I always try to pitch to Mark Potash from the Sun-Times that he and I should do a docuseries or a show where we just travel across the country in a car, just me and him. And for those of you listening, on the surface, me and Mark Potash could not be more opposite. Like, it would be.
He's old enough to be your dad.
Right, he's old enough to be my dad. Like, it would be such compelling TV, I think, just to watch our own dynamic. But I also told him, like, we travel across the country in a car, and I'll get you through the West Baltimores and the South Side of Chicago's and sketchy parts of Detroit, and you get me through all of the places in between with sundown towns and whatnot, and we'll be okay.
Oh, Lord, that could quickly turn into us, a dystopian drive through America. That is actually, that sounds like a horror story, maybe.
That could go a lot of different directions.
Mm-hmm. It could. I'm sad right now that The Good Doctor is about to end. I've gotten so hooked on that show, man. And they have the series finale is next week, and I'm a little bummed about it. It's been so good.
I don't have any reference for that show. If you told me I'll give you $1 million to make one reference about that show,
I've heard the name.
It's Dr. Sean Murphy. He's an autistic surgeon, and it's phenomenal.
Oh, I have seen the previews for this.
He's a surgeon with autism. Let me say that.
Shows. I think you watch old people shows, Herb.
I don't know. Sean Murphy's a young guy. It's just really, really good.
I think you watch what old people are watching. Let's get into this in a minute after we start the show. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. I'm Jason Leisure. I got two co-hosts in today. I got Herb Howard from the Bigs here in Chicago. And I got Carlos Frias back with us from Miami after his residency back in February, I think it was. February, March. He was with us for a month of shows. Welcome back.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Always good to hang out with you, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Two worlds colliding here. Neither you guys don't know each other, but I have strong faith in your chemistry and your ability to make this happen today.
We're best friends now.
I'm feeling it.
Just like that. Are both like that. You guys are both people that make friends, I feel like, very quickly. You both have those personalities. And I have people in my family like this, but I'm not like this, where it's just like my grandfather. I feel like I've spent so much time with him in different places. And he just makes a friend at the bar. He makes a friend in the aisle picking up something at Target. I mean, just everywhere he goes, he'll start talking to someone like they're his best friend, and they're in. They're on board. They just like him.
I've never met a stranger. It's always like this. This is always like that. Like, I don't know.
You know what's funny is my dad was like that. The guy who can make a friend anywhere and strike up a conversation everywhere. And my mom was like Aubrey Plaza. Like, she's like dark and like, leave me alone type of thing. So, and I'm naturally like my mom, like I'm an introvert.
Really?
And then when I know that I'm going to be in a social setting, I turn on the dad switch. I mentally turn it on, you know, and I kind of do the face wipe, like the, smiles. That's a visual joke. You have to be watching the video podcast to see that one. And I'll just turn on that feature and be my dad and then go home and not talk to people for like 3 hours.
I'm probably more like that, but I always aspire to be how my grandfather is or how certain other people in my family are, where they can just strike, how Herb is, they can just strike up those friendships and those conversations so naturally. I'd like to be more like that. I see how that serves people well, and I think it would serve me well in my, you know, social life and humanity, but it's difficult. The one crutch I always have is people almost always want to talk to me about my job.
Mm. Yeah.
So, and that's easy. I used to resent that. And then I became more open to that of like, hey, if this is what people want to talk to me about, that's fine. Resent probably wasn't the right word, but resist maybe.
Yeah.
I would try not to have that come up because I didn't want to sit there and have somebody ask me 20 questions about the Dolphins or the Bears in the draft or something like that, or the Heat. And then I kind of warmed up to, okay, if this is what people want to talk to me, I can do this. I can engage this. I get why it's interesting to them. You don't meet a lot of people that do that job. And then it became sort of this crutch that I could lean on of, you know, if I'm in an awkward situation, because you end up in a lot of those now, you know this, Carlos, where when your kids are young, you end up meeting the parents of your kids' friends. That's one aspect of your social life now, is you go out to dinner or you have people over that's the only reason you know them is because your kids are friends. And I always know that there's about an 80% chance that person is interested in football and is going to want to ask me a bunch of questions about my job. And if nothing else, I can at least talk about that.
The being friends, or at least friendly with parents of your kids, you know, your kids' friends, is such an interesting dance, man, because there were so many parents of those kids that I was like, I have nothing in common. Like, I do not want to be here hanging out with this person. This person is lame. I don't like anything what we're talking about. I want to put my head in a bathtub. Like, I don't want to be here talking with you about this foolishness. And yet you have to, I do the dad face mask. I do the, hey, let's talk about the interesting thing that you're interested in, sir. And it's very exhausting.
Chris Rock has a joke about that, except he's talking about it through the lens of a spouse. He's like, I hate when my wife, like, she meets up, she has a friend, and she's like, hey, you got to come hang out with my friend and her husband. And he's like, I don't like this dude. She's like, she just throws me in a room with somebody like, hey, he likes baseball.
See, my wife can take it if I'm like, hey, I don't really like so-and-so. I'm not, you can be friends with them, that's fine, but I don't really want to do that. My wife can handle it. I don't want to be out there tanking my kids' friendships, though.
Right.
Because if me and the parents don't get along, then the kids are not going to be able to hang out. I don't want to be out there ruining my kids' social life because I don't like the parents or something.
Yeah, you got to suck it up. You got to suck it, or you got to drop off. You got to do the drop off or have them come by and drop off. But like the whole, let's go out together. Oh, please, no. Please don't do it to me. I can't.
I haven't run into much, if any, of my kids' friends where I do not like that person. Like, don't bring that person here. But I do run into a lot where it's, you know, we don't really connect. You know, we wouldn't be friends probably if we were sitting next to each other on a plane. We probably wouldn't have much to talk about.
Yeah. There's
nothing personal, and it's as much on me as anybody else.
There's always football.
There's always football.
You know what's the thing is that, okay, so if a couple goes out, this happened to a friend of my friend Anthony Chang, who covers the Miami Heat for
Miami
Herald. Yeah, okay. So Anthony.
Former, I don't know if it'd be up to him, but I would say former protege of me.
Yeah, okay. Well,
he was going places. He was going places anyway. Anthony Chang is now the Miami Heat beat writer for the Miami Herald.
For the Herald.
And he was in college at the time, at Florida, at the time I was covering University of Florida.
Oh, is that right? Was he your Coro or whatever?
No, he was someone else's, but I saw what he was doing and immediately put him on the radar of my bosses of, if when this guy graduates, we should find something for him here because he's good. And he would have been good either way. But hopefully he would agree that I gave him a lot of good, that I was a
good asset to him in his career. And I love Anthony Chang.
See, I love this. I vibe with this because you and I are friends and Anthony and I are friends. And now knowing that there's the there's a trinity there, that makes sense. So Anthony and I and my fiance and his wife Camilla, we all go out to dinner and we're having a nice dinner and we're outside waiting for our cars or whatever. And then he and I start talking about sports, maybe the Marlins. And then, like, I don't know, 90 seconds into our conversation, we look and like our significant others are just kind of sitting silently. And I was like, oh, this is how sports can be exclusionary to people who are not into the nitty gritty of it. And
imagine if it was the other way around and, you know, they were sitting there talking about Vanderpump Rules and your eyes would blaze over. Yeah. You'd have no idea. But that's how it is for them. Listening to you and Anthony talk about the draft.
Yeah. If they started talking about the best scenarios where you guys are talking sports and they're talking Vanderpump Rules and then until there's the lull and then those lulls meet at the same point, that's ideal. That's ideal.
Sports Adjacent is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. You can go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA and take advantage of sales they've got going throughout the month of May. But if you use our link, sheetsgiggles.com/SA, you're going to get an extra discount on top of that. Great time of year to get the sheet set. Yes. In most of the country, it's starting to get hot, and that's really what you want in the summertime is the sheet set. Carlos, I think last time we talked to you, you had not slept on your Sheets and Giggles.
Since I put it on the bed, I have not slept on any other thing. So at the end of the week, we launder, put it back on, and we're just
that's
like
good. That answers my first follow up. I'm glad. Okay,
we're a Sheets and Giggles family.
It kind of made it sound like you hadn't taken them off at all at first.
No, I went. That's why I quickly
overcorrected.
Quickly followed up with we laundered them at the end of the week, every week because we are not dirty people. But we're down with them. We like them so much that we're like, should we go back to the sandpaper? Or should we launder these and just wait it out until the hour and a half until it's washed and dried?
Oh, that's tough. I got a couple sets, and when I mismanage the laundry, and I end up with like one of my older sets, I'm like, this sucks. Like, I don't want to go to sleep. It's really different. Like, it's really, really different, and it's the best in the summertime. Like, it's the best because it's like light and it feels good, and you don't need your like blanket. Like, dude, got the little throw blanket, which is also cool. The little white throw blanket. But yeah, in the summertime, you get the little breeze going through your window, and it's like, it just feels great, for real.
Herb, are you a sheet guy? Because like before I was with my fiance, and it was just me alone at home, I would just be like the sheet guy. Like, I'm going to keep the air warmer than normal, and I'm just going to go with the sheet. But ever since we've been together, I'm the sheet stays tucked in, and I'm just like a quilt guy. Now,
wait, you don't get under the top sheet?
No, we don't use the sheet. We go right to the quilt.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, wait a second. So it's going from the bottom up. It's mattress, fitted sheet,
right? Sheet.
You,
me,
and then what you're calling a quilt on top of you?
Yeah, like a duvet. Okay, with a duvet cover.
That's weird. Why? I that seems strange to me.
No middle sheet. I'm just really? Like it's a sort of commando almost. You know, I go without the sheet.
Yeah, but that's like commando in jeans though. That doesn't even feel good.
No.
Well, if you have a good comforter, it would.
Good comforter, good fluffy. Okay.
All right.
Fluffy comforter, cotton.
Okay.
High thread count. It's nice. It's nice.
Well, also, so where's your top sheet?
It's just folded in a drawer. It's unused.
Okay. All right. Okay.
One day I'm going to put it on. One's going to be terribly discolored, you know, from the other one.
Okay.
Like when you take a painting off a wall, there's just a white square.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. I'm definitely a sheet guy, Carlos. I a lot of times I'll throw the comforter off of me. Like I don't really need that. I just the sheet and I'll be cool, especially in the summertime. In fact, I take it off of my bed most of the time in the summer, the comforter.
Yeah, before the woman in my life, I was just the sheet guy. I did not use the comforter, but now, you know, you make some concessions.
Indeed, you do.
Yep.
Sports Adjacent is also brought to you by BetMGM. You can go to BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app. Use promo code Adjacent1000. You'll get this offer. Your first bet with BetMGM gets paid back in free future betting credits if you don't win. Up to $1,500. Just use promo code Adjacent1000. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. I have a really interesting betting story for you guys in the news roundup at the end of the show today. About a guy who had an opt out on a bet that that if it was to win would have made him a millionaire. Anyway, we'll get back to that later. I think you watch old person TV, Herb. I think you're kind of like Robert Quinn talking about reading, watching Cold Case and X-Files and stuff like that. Because I'm sure these shows are fine. And I never want to talk bad about anything even tangentially related to Chicago. But my wife watches these Chicago shows, Chicago Fire and Chicago
PD
and Chicago Med.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen all three at different points. They're not good.
And
I don't think they're being watched by anybody under 40 in general.
Whoa.
Maybe under 50 in general. But my wife loves two of these shows. My wife watches every episode of PD and most of the episodes of Med. She's never gotten into Fire for whatever reason. And I make fun of her all the time because she watches old person shows like that and NCIS and stuff like that. And then I find out talking to Herb, those are all the shows he watches.
Those are some of my absolute favorite shows. I think so. Are you saying that you think that Ashley and I are the two youngest people to watch any of these
shows? Yes, 100%. Yes.
That
definitely
is so not true. But either way, they are great shows. I'm not so much into Med. I love Fire, love Chicago PD, and I love NCIS. Like they're great shows. They got good storylines. It could move you emotionally sometimes. It's funny sometimes. The drama's good. The action's good. Good characters. Good character arcs. It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff, Jason.
I feel like terrestrial TV. Like that's like my kids don't watch terrestrial. There's no antennas. There's only one antenna hooked up to one TV. Mm-hmm. The other ones don't. We don't have cable. They're streamers. Hell, my kid watches whole shows on TikTok. Imagine the split screen top and bottom. Mm-hmm. And on the top is like a guy doing origami, and the bottom is the movie, Lion King or whatever, really? Any new movie, and they're just watching the movie on what amounts to like, I don't know, a 2x2 square
right
in the TikTok screen, and that's how they've seen a bunch of movies. That's how they consume longer length video productions. You can't even call it TV anymore because what's a TV anymore?
I hate commercials. I can't watch commercials anymore. I no longer can watch commercials. So
with you,
I have the DVR. So I watch, I record those shows. Now, my friend was telling me yesterday, why don't you just watch them on the app? Like I could watch them on the app too, but I just record them because I don't know why. So I tend to watch them there and just fast forward through the commercials, and it's cool because it's got like the smart stop, so I don't even have to like stop it myself. I just fast forward and then it stops when the show comes back on. But yeah, commercials, I don't have the capacity to do that anymore. I don't even know why they still make them and except for the Super Bowl.
A 30 second commercial feels like waterboarding.
Oh,
like I'm watching Hulu, which I pay for,
mm-hmm.
and it's with ads and it's someone will be a 90 second ad. And that's like
an eternity.
That's an eternity. That's a prison sentence.
Like it really is.
90 seconds. What am I supposed to do with nine? My phone's not near me. I can't scroll for 90 seconds. What do I do now? And YouTube is the worst, obviously, right? We all know that YouTube is.
I have premium YouTube because I cannot do this. I can't be watching something and then you cut in.
That's the one I've thought about doing. I use YouTube for music a lot, and so I have I have playlists on there, and that gets really messed up with the ads. And they do this thing with the ads where the first ad you have to watch, the second ad there's this 5 second five,
and then you can skip.
And then you can skip if you don't pay attention to it.
It'll go away.
You miss it.
And then that ad is a documentary.
Yes,
that ad is 7 minutes
long.
10 minutes about solar panels.
Oh, if you watched 6 seconds of this, you must want to watch 2.5 minutes of it.
You must. Yeah.
No.
I can't do
I'm
it.
With you guys on that. I can't.
I can't stand watching ads anymore. It's become so counter to how we watch TV as opposed to growing up with it. But I also am too cheap to pay for the ad free of anything.
Yeah.
So I have ads on all my streaming services, but I just will mute it or put the phone down or something. On Peacock, if you want to watch a movie and you don't have the ad free, they give you, I think it's 200 seconds of ads at the beginning. So what's that? 3.5 minutes almost?
Yeah.
And when that little timer pops up, 180 seconds of commercials before your movie, I'm just like, I can go to the store.
I can do anything.
I can walk the dog and come back.
It's like just warming up the car, you know, just like, all right, I'll start this up and I'll go do some things and come back. And
like, part of it is kind of sad that we've been conditioned this way because we used to watch commercials all the time for everything, but I just don't care. I can't do it. And so I throw money at that problem. I don't have a whole lot of responsibility. I don't have children. It's just me. Like, sure, take my $12 every month. I'm not happy about it, but I'm less happy about ads and commercials. So I was like, forget it.
Yeah. My kids recite commercials now. They recite pharmaceutical commercials that they hear on Spotify.
Oh, I was going to say, so are there memorable commercials anymore if we're like skipping through them and we're being in the other room? There's, to me, obviously your kids remember or can quote some, but for me, there are not memorable commercials. It's just ads that I get on my Instagram now because it's listening to me. And like when I'm thinking about maybe that I need, you know, more trash bags, it was like, buy these new trash bags on some website or whatever. That's how marketers get to me now. I have bought things off Instagram. Have you bought things off Instagram?
I didn't even. I mean, I guess I knew you could do that in theory, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't have ever seen that done. What do you mean you bought something off Instagram? Like, how does that happen?
What's your experience been, Herb? You bought some stuff off Instagram?
Yeah, so you can like just scroll through, and then it'll have like an ad, and some of them will even have like the direct link in the post, and you just click on it, like shop now. It's like, ooh, I like that hat. I like those shoes, and then now once you do that once, now every single pair of that shoe just ends up popping up somewhere in your algorithms. Like, oh my God.
That should come with ad free for a month. Once you buy something, it should be like, hey, okay, you got me. There you go.
There you go. Leave
but
me alone.
Now you got to leave me alone for a month.
Leave me alone.
Instead, it's blood in the water. They're like, oh, we need to send this dummy's buying stuff on here. Let's give him more of these.
And certainly don't keep pitching me the same shoe. I bought it. I did it already.
I got it.
Yeah, although I know this from experience, there is a button on Instagram where you can be like, I already purchased this product.
Oh,
like,
really?
Wow. Yeah, and then it goes away.
Okay.
Like you hit the three little dots and I'm like, how I need to destroy this. And then among the options are like, I've already purchased this product. And I was like, great. Now don't bother me now.
Don't bother me again.
Yeah, they're like, for 30 seconds, for 90 seconds, we won't show you an ad.
It'd be like if you gave someone money on the street on your way into a restaurant, and then you walked out, and they're like, hey, can you give me? Like, yo, cool out, man.
They're like, that was a different guy.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
I actually want to hear some wild Florida man stories. I'm surprised that we've not, in all the episodes we had you on, done something like this, Carlos. But I thought of this because I was reading a story about two Floridians who were trying to scam the lottery, which just, I don't even have to tell you where that story took place. If I just told you, hey, there's two people, there's this couple trying to make a fake scratch-off lottery ticket to win $1 million, everybody's first guess is Florida.
Yeah. The dead giveaway for Florida is usually nudity, right? Like if the person is shirtless or naked, or like if that's part of the arrest photo, there's usually nudity involved.
That's probably true. I think the three things you're looking for, the three tells, are probably nudity, fraud of some kind is usually going to be Florida, and the involvement of an alligator.
Yes.
And any one of those three.
any one of those three, you're thinking probably Florida. More than one, like any two of those three, and you're like, that's Florida. I would bet my house on it. No problem.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I learned, right, and I grew up in South Florida, mostly in South Broward, but then I've been living in Miami-Dade County for a little over 10 years. And I bought a house on a corner, right? So what I found out is that corners, intersections are kind of like spiritually potent places for Santeria, voodoo, brujeria. And like you will find things like, I am not making this up, as Dave Barry says, like a paper bag with a dead chicken inside, a decapitated dead chicken stuffed with sawdust. And I don't know how to explain why those things all come together, but they do. Like right now, right? I live on a corner house. On one side of the corner of my house, there is on one of the trees that my dog likes to pee on, there is a blackened rotten banana. And I guarantee it's still got the Chiquita sticker on it. I guarantee that is there for a reason at the base of a tree. And at the base of the tree on the other side, there is a coconut. Now, and it's like, you know, we always joke around. Now, is this religion or just littering? But it happens regularly enough.
Are you usually scared to move those things? Like, leave that alone. Like, just no, I don't care how long it's there. Just leave it alone.
But honestly, my fiance was like, don't touch the banana. The banana belongs to Chango, as the song goes. If Tony's editing the show, he should find that song by Willie Chirino. Don't touch the banana. The banana belongs to Chango. But I found a
machete in the grass once when I was walking my dog.
Oh, a machete?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My dad had three.
In a good neighborhood.
One of them in the trunk of his car. Because you never know when you're going to need a machete, because right. Miami, right?
That's how I came to own my machete, was I found it on the side of the road. I found it in the grass between the sidewalk and the street in my neighborhood while I was out walking the dog. Now I got a machete.
I guess this is mine now. Yeah. Communal machete.
Do you want to hear about this story? I want to see if you can guess what part of Florida this happened in, because anyone that knows Florida knows it's very nuanced. There's South Florida. The crime in South Florida is different than the crime in the middle of the state, is different than the crime in Tampa, is different than the crime in the Panhandle, is different than the crime in Jacksonville. All different kinds of crime happens down there. South Florida, it usually seems to me to be more fun. More man caught naked at Publix, you know.
Yep. Where like the Central Florida always involves drug use.
Yep.
Like usually some kind of like, you know, like middle America type of like oxycodone type of thing. And then Panhandle is like Alabama crimes, you know, that you find out because of Florida's open records laws. But hold on. I'm going to put on my dad's Guajiro hat so that I can help. So I can guess. So
okay. Okay. That is going to help you. Okay, good. It's going to be a costume for this.
He's got it too.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not surprised at all that.
So like my late dad never left the house without his Guajiro hat. So this doesn't really fit over your headphones.
Tilt the bar of the headphones back. Yeah.
All right.
Can you still hear? Okay. There you go. You're looking good now.
Oh yeah.
That's not bad.
Hey, that suits you. Do you wear that in general or no?
I do not wear this. I just because you know.
You could. I would look douchey in that, but you look good.
It's a good look. You pull that off for real. That's a good look.
I think it looks better on camera, but you know, it takes a little bit. But man, I really, if you tell me where the crying is, I tell you what I think happened. You know, I'm not sure. You know, I don't do a lot of crime. You know, not a lot, a little crime, but not a lot. But you know, you tell me, I tell you more or less if I think I know where crime is.
That is so good. Oh, my God. Keep the head on for the rest of this episode.
Like, I like it. You know, because sometimes going outside, it's so really hot, you know, cooking your skin and you have a hat. Hey, I feel better. It's just nice. You know, I'm cool. I'm Mr. Cool now.
What's this character's name?
This is just my dad. This is just my late dad.
Okay.
I thought this was like
a composite of many different stereotypes. This is you imitating.
Oh, this is so good.
My dad. Anybody that's got problems with it, it's like, listen, this is just my dad.
This is great. I love your dad.
Oh, yeah. I love him too. Well, okay, yeah, so my dad was a he used to sell ice cream. My dad used to sell ice cream and a truck. He had a ice cream truck, and my mother, she had ice cream truck too, you know, and they drive around, and the name of my dad truck is Mr. Cool. I put him Mr. Cool because my last name Frias. Frias and Mincol, Mr. Cool. And yes, Mr. Cool. So I'm Mr. Cool. Tell me where the crying is, and I tell you where I think the crying happened.
Okay. All right. So Mr. Cool, probably the name of this character, I would guess. So you have a couple, and they're in their 30s, boyfriend and girlfriend.
Oh, it's very sexy already. Sexy, okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. Kira Enders and her boyfriend, Dakota Jones.
Dakota, that's a name? That's a state. That's a U.S. state. That's the 50 U.S. states.
It can also be a name, Mr. Cool. I think it's typically a girl's name. But
yeah, like Dakota Fanning or something. Yeah.
I think you're making that up, but okay. Dakota. Dakota's so the girl or Dakota's the boy?
Dakota is the boy. You've gotten me into saying it now in your accent. Dakota. Dakota.
Oh, this is good.
If you say so, okay.
So here's what they did. Here's what they did. They took two different scratch-off lottery tickets, scratchers, and put them, taped half and half together to make a winning ticket, taped or glued or whatever, for $1 million.
Jason, you can do that, Jason. You can't.
No, that's correct. That is a crime.
You can't do that. No, that's not. That's not right. That's not right. No, but you know what? This is not South Florida. I tell you why I think there's no South Florida.
It's not South Florida.
No. Esto no es South Florida. Porque number one, down here we play Lotto. Okay, that's the high class.
No scratchers.
You play Lotto. You play Fantasy Five. Maybe the Lucky Three. You know, that's the one you play. But that's scratchy. That's la cosa los gringos, tú sabes, those are gringo things. Yeah. They say, oh, I need That's to right. buy more alcohol, you know, and I scratch it. Maybe I win $5. I get it. I get it. You know, one, what do they call it? The one that called 45. Oh, we got it good. You know.
Yes, that's Billy D. You're describing us hillbillies perfectly. Yes.
Ese Billy D. Ese le ponía el toque. He was the right one. So I think with a name like Dakota, who could be man or woman, but I think you say it's Mr. Dakota. I say, okay, Mr. Dakota. Yeah, and right. Doing this thing with the two pieces, I think there's maybe some droga that made you think that like somebody's going to look at a rip ticket and go, oh, mira, esto un pedazo. This is one thing. It's a rip ticket. So I'm going to say, eso es cosa de like Lakeland area. That's
okay, warmer, getting warmer.
Warmer, como que yeah. warmer? So, Mapa north. This is a place where
you're
without cities.
You're getting warmer figuratively, like if we're playing hot and cold. You know.
No. See, like esto es cosa de. This is like country people. The people doing this is country people. This is not city people who understand.
I follow your theory. Yeah.
It's a country people thing. Maybe Pensacola, mm-hmm. or like Alabama type of thing.
Now you just nailed it. That's it. It's Pensacola.
Pensacola, que eso tiene que ser cosa de Pensacola. Está bien. Yo todavía. I told you, I know these things, man. Porque esa cosa, you try that in Miami, la gente dice, oye, pero tú, chico, ¿tú crees que yo soy loco? Esto es aquí que tú cogiste dos pedazos, lo pegaste como si esto fuera algo. Y eso no es eso. That's not how you do it. So you, you don't do it like that.
It's a perfect trait of this character that I can't tell you the information because you won't stop talking.
That's how we do it in Cuba, you know. Sometimes you gotta make good conversation. Yeah, personable, you know. You talk to somebody, say, "Herb, good to see you. Let me tell you a story." I start a story. I tell you a story. Mm-hmm. You get excited. You get your eyes get big, you know. Yeah. And I tell you, that's how you talk to people. Jason, that's how you talk. Especially if you gotta go with your wife to your kid. You go to your kid's house. Your kids want to go to play with their friend, and they got the parents, and then you gotta make friendly con los parents. Oh, señora, let me tell you about this lottery ticket story I found. And that's the story. That's how you do it.
I cannot. So how did the story end, Jason?
Oh, they got caught. Yeah, that's the ending. They got caught. That's how it made the news. Let's do the news.
Let's.
So a bettor in Oklahoma City named he's not in Oklahoma City. He's in Arizona, but he bet on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Wayne Shelton is the guy's name. He looks like he's probably in his 30s or so. He bet a three-leg parlay last year. And this is always kind of surprising to me because I guess I just don't realize how many things you can bet on. Mm-hmm. That such a bet would be possible. But it's probably, if you're listening to this and you do a lot of sports gambling, you probably think it's stupid that I'm surprised by this. You probably think this is totally normal. So he bet last year, Carlos, on this parlay of the Texas Rangers winning the World Series, the Kansas City Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, and the Oklahoma City Thunder winning the current NBA championship.
Oh my gosh.
The first two checked, and the Thunder are pretty good. They are, as of this recording, tied 2-2 in the second round with Dallas. Game 5 is Wednesday night, so this will be somewhat outdated by the time you guys hear this Friday morning. The bet was he put $100 on that, and if it all was to happen, he would win $1.7
million. Wow.
And the first two of those have happened, as you know, the Rangers and the Chiefs.
Yes.
I would circle the day of Game 7 of the NBA Finals, the day after Game 7 of the NBA Finals on my calendar, and like potentially like don't go into work like that day. Like that's the day I don't go.
Okay.
You just that's what I would do. And then like on that day, they would not hear from me ever again. Mm-hmm. Like if I was in his job, like, hey, Herb didn't come into work today. And it's like, have anyone seen Herb? And it's like, no one will see Herb ever again. Well, I think the number would have to be bigger, actually, for the full disappearance.
Sure. Okay. But yeah, even with the number as it is, what I would do is, I don't know, put up my house or something and get like $500,000. And I would start spreading that $500,000 around to do whatever I can to ensure that OKC wins the NBA Finals. That is what I would be doing right now. I just get a $500,000 loan, and I would just be calling all the referees I can. I'd be calling like hitmen, like who can break Luka
Doncic's ankle? Okay.
Like, hey, I'll give you $100,000. You go break Luka's ankle. You know,
this crime definitely takes place in Florida.
You could do it smaller scale. Like you could call the hotel, somebody who works at the hotel, and be like, "Listen, I get $500 just every night. Pull the fire alarm." Every night that they're in town, you pull the fire alarm. No. And no matter what city they're in, fire alarm gets pulled. You know what I mean? Like give them like the South Beach treatment, you know?
No, some of that tainted pizza like they gave
like injured. They did Jordan. We gotta go further than a little sleepy. We need unavailable. Like we gotta, I'll give you $100,000 to go Tonya Harding, Jason Tatum, you know, like.
I don't think you're calculating very well all your expenses because you're only winning $1.7 million. I think you're going to end up breaking even on this.
No, I'm going to win $1.7 and
you're just throwing $500,000 here, $100,000 here.
No, I pulled out $500,000. I'm throwing $100,000 here and there, and I'm going to go through the $500,000 and I'll get the other million on the back end. The $1.2, I'll be fine.
It's only the second round of the playoffs right now. That $500,000 you've pulled out isn't going to get you through the finals.
Yeah, but so right, they're playing Dallas right now.
Yeah, okay.
we get somebody to pop Luka's knee. All good there. They'll beat them without Luka, and then they're in the Western Conference Finals against the Wolves or the
Nuggets.
Okay, we do another. Let's go 150 for Jokic.
I don't know. Jokic's people come get you though.
They will.
I will not mess with you, Jokic.
Maybe at the game, stressed. Yes.
They will, and if it's in Texas, forget about it. I do much smaller annoyances. Like I just want to give the other team a little edge.
Okay,
right? Because you're a gambler, right? So you know it's not a sure thing. You know you're going for a crazy gamble. So like now I want to give myself little betting edges. You know, like make them have bad sleep. Maybe like pop the tires of their cars. Like, you know. I love pineapple on pizza, but just send pizza to them that's got pineapple on it to really just like mess up people's minds. Like what is happening? Like, that's what I would do. I would do like a very targeted psychological warfare is what I would do.
It's too close. Like that's why I would go extreme. It's just too close. Right. So I wouldn't have done nothing before the Rangers won or anything before the Chiefs won. But now that both of those things have happened and the Thunder are two games from the Western Conference. Like, it's just too close. So now I gotta get some assurances here.
Well, here's the thing, though, is you don't just place this bet and wait a year and see what happens. It's not like that. There's these cash out options for him along the way. And that value goes up or down. He can cash it. So, for example, and he's got to weigh this at every turn, whether he's throwing away all his money, because if he wins, he wins $1.7 million. If the Thunder don't win the championship, which I would doubt that they're the odds-on favorite to win it. I would think it's Boston.
Yeah.
Not that the Thunder don't have a chance. They definitely would have a shot. But
Nuggets and Boston have a better shot.
If OKC doesn't win, you win nothing. So OKC goes up 1-0 in their series on Dallas, and the cash out offer for him at that point is $100,000.
Take it.
He didn't.
Come on, man.
Dallas wins the next two games. That cash out offer drops to $30,000.
See?
Because the casino is still trying to get out of it. They're seeing that this liability of the book is seeing this $1.7 million liability and thinking, if we can get out of this for $100,000, that's, you know, then we eliminate a lot of risk. It goes back up to $81,000 after OKC ties the series 2-2 going into the game that will be played the night that we're recording this. And that was when Wayne Shelton decided he just didn't have the stomach to keep doing this. And he took the $90,000.
You know, I almost respected him, because if you think about it this way, I laid $100 on a unwinnable bet. Like, it's a ridiculous bet.
And get 80 grand off of it.
$100 that the Dolphins, the Marlins, and the Heat will all win titles in 1 year. Ridiculous. Like, so I could see laying down $100 and being like, I'm not sweating at all, because I'm in $100 on this thing. And the sports book is in on it. So I get that side of it. But man, I'd be looking at that 100 G's and being like, oof.
I think that's what happened to him. Like, once he was at the 100, once they won game one, and then he saw that, okay, they lost game two and it probably went down to 60, and they lost game three and it went down to 30. He's like, oh my God. So once they won game four, he's like, get me out of this right now. I'll take it.
He's like,
80.
What am I doing?
Deal.
Just think, I mean, what's that going down to from 30K if OKC then goes up 3-1?
Probably.
If Dallas goes up 3-1,
probably $100. We'll give you $100 back.
Yeah. $100 back. Yeah.
So once you got back up into a really big number, $81,000 is a really big number to almost everybody. I'm taking that.
That's a lot of lottery tickets. You can buy a lot of lottery tickets.
Yes.
You can buy a lottery ticket. They don't win. You tape them together and you say, hey, look, I found the lottery ticket in the water.
No, there was no crime here. No, this was legit, Mr. Cool. This was all legal and fine.
But that's really cool. That's a really cool bet and a really cool story. I would have played that a little longer. Like, it's 2-2. If they go up 3-2, it's probably going to be like $150 or something.
If they go down 3-2,
he's probably back down around probably 40 or so.
Maybe less.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. I think he made a really, really good bet. He made $81,000 off his $100. He made a really, really good bet. I'm just foolish, because I just want to get that close. Like, can they get to the Western Conference Finals? What would it be at the Western Conference Finals? Like, 300?
There's no losing if you put down $100 and made $81,000.
He won. Good on you, sir.
I'm not a gambler, though. Can we just – maybe we have to be in the mind of a gambler, and I'm just not. It hurts me more to lose $20 than it does to win 100. Like, if I go to the thing, like, so I'm maybe the wrong guy to ask, I think.
Yeah, I like the gamble. It's fun. I hit like a 7-leg parlay on one of the Bears games this year, and it was just random stuff that would or would not happen throughout the game. And I'm sitting next to Nick Moriano, who also covers the Bears. And I'm like, bro. it gets down to the end, and I think the only thing left was that Justin Fields wouldn't throw an interception. And so I'm like, bro, we got to get through this quarter, and he just doesn't throw a pick, and which is not a guarantee, especially in the fourth. But he did. So I was like, Nick, drinks on me tonight.
Oh, man. No one was more heartbroken in that stadium. I know no cheering in the press box and stuff, but Yeah, I don't know, man.
I'm gonna be like, ooh. And he threw one ball, like kind of went up in the air, and I was like, oh, that's gonna get picked. And then it didn't, and I was like, we're good.
If I were you, I'd be running out on the field, batting down.
Do you guys know what Snopes is?
I do not know what Snopes.
I used to know what it was, but I think it got. Is it still that site?
I believe it is still a fact checking. Yeah, a fact checking entity. And they were recently. I saw this on Twitter. They were fact checking a story that was from 10 years ago, but it was the headline on it was so interesting that I had to know what it was. The headline of this Snopes story that they were trying to confirm whether it was true or not was "Wife Stabs Husband with Squirrel."
Uh-huh.
And Snopes confirmed the story through WCBD TV in Charleston, South Carolina, which was written off a police report. Here's the story from Fox Carolina, Carlos.
And now,
Herb Howard
reads.
A 41-year-old man was left bloodied early Christmas morning after his spouse attacked him and stabbed him with a ceramic squirrel for not bringing home beer, according to the incident report. Helen Ann Williams, 44 years old, was arrested Wednesday and charged with criminal domestic violence of a high and aggravated nature. An incident report states officers arrived to find a man with a large amount of blood on his shirt due to a large, deep laceration from his left shoulder to the left chest area. He also had cuts on his face. The victim told police he went to the store to get beer, but returned because the store was closed. The report states Williams was mad that the victim did not bring home beer. She then hit the victim over the head with a ceramic squirrel and stabbed him in the chest with it.
I don't know what to do with that, other than say that the squirrel's a dead giveaway that it was in Florida. But it being a ceramic squirrel explains that headline, which it's not wrong. It's
still
not
pretty
wrong.
Wild. Yeah. Nobody stabbed anyone with a squirrel. That's probably impossible, but still. I mean, I'm reading from the police report right now. It says that the man stated to the police he tried to come home and fix a sandwich, but she got mad that he did not have the beer and took a ceramic squirrel and hit him over the head and then stabbed him over his shoulder and chest with it.
I thought he was going to come home with champagne, and she's like, no, I said champagne of beers. And she...
The store was closed. Come on, man.
It's not even my fault. It's not like I went Jeez. There and forgot. Like it wasn't open. I could not get it. And
no excuse. You got to break in.
Yeah.
He expected him to break in. I'm guessing Mrs. There was some beer left over somewhere.
She had already drank. She had to be already drinking. But yeah. You hit this. But first of all, don't you know that your partner is capable of this? Like, this is something that she just might do, as wild as it is. It's like she might hit me over the head with that ceramic squirrel over there on the shelf and then stab me in my chest with it. Like, she's trying to kill
you. You're guessing this isn't the first time something like this has happened.
No, this is what I say a lot about
Williams home.
She was trying to kill this man about a six pack of beer. Like, or probably a 30 case for her. I don't know. But like, she hit him in the head and then stabbed him from his left shoulder to his left chest. She was trying to kill him. She tried to stab that man straight in his heart after busting his head.
That is some John Wick shit right there.
For real.
stabbed him with the smashed ceramic squirrel. Like, that is,
Nuts.
That's definitely a superhero move.
Yeah. Didn't I tell you to get beer? Huh? I didn't tell you to get beer. No,
I will break this squirrel off in your ass.
That is crazy. Oh, my God. Like
a domestic violence. We shouldn't make fun.
No, we should not. But should not like that fun. Can't be the first time she's abused him.
No,
that can't no. Like the first time you do something to somebody is not busting them upside the head and then stabbing them in the chest. That's not step one. Like
that's
She's thrown water on him or something before. Like, it's something. Like, This is no.
They used to have a ceramic chipmunk, but she worked with a larger animal, larger ceramic animal.
many ceramic rodents have met their end in that house, maybe.
At least found it with a ceramic elephant, you know, when they came.
That is crazy. You got to ask me, like, what happened to your last boyfriend? Like, why didn't that work out?
How come things didn't work out?
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
For a new story.
he's beyond us now.
He tried to cash in a ticket. Some trick he was seeing down in Florida.
Finally, Herb and Carlos, a truck carrying 15 million bees crashed and flipped over in Maine last week. The tractor trailer was transporting bees to pollinate blueberry fields, and that's a huge industry in Maine. Bees are very valuable.
Absolutely.
Police and fire, though, were not. Maybe they'll do this on Chicago PD or Chicago Fire, Herb. Police and fire were not aware that the truck was carrying 15 million bees until well into the rescue effort.
Oh, that's terrible.
I'm just picturing that Tommy Boy scene where he's driving, and all of a sudden he pulls into the field. Bees!
Yes.
And that's except just the first responders, except that's real.
15 million bees, man. That's... Imagine taking that assignment as a transporter. We need you to drive some cargo up to Maine. Okay, yeah, that's what I do for a living. Sure. It's 15 million bees. You already said yes.
Right. 15 million bees. That has to look like just like a black cloud of swarm. Like that. Wow.
They were somewhat contained. So
Maine is going to have great blueberry season this year.
Yeah, in all kinds of places where they didn't expect it, probably.
Yep. Right.
The fire chief said, quote, the guys did get stung on a regular basis during this effort. Everyone got stung at least a couple times.
Isn't that one of those things where you could just be like, let's leave it alone for an hour and let's let some bees fly away? I don't know.
Well, bees are valuable. We need them.
But you think they tried to catch him? Was there an effort?
It said it took several hours, but that the driver, this is from the Associated Press, that the driver appeared to be okay, was taken to the hospital as a precaution, but seemed to be okay. And the bees were mostly contained and saved.
Oh, that doesn't sound like police training you usually get, right?
I'm thinking it wasn't just a trunk full of bees. Like you
No, the sure. They were probably in the little,
they're in something.
They were in the little, probably in those little wooden cases, the little rectangular looking cases. But I think
obviously some of them got out though when the truck
flips over.
Yeah.
And then that has to like startle the bees and like get them riled up. And then I don't want to be there.
They brought a beekeeper out to try to save as many of the bees as they could.
It becomes a Wu-Tang video all of a sudden.
Yeah, for real. Just swarm everywhere. Like, no. No, thank you. And usually firemen, they aren't really concerned with like loss of property when they show up to a scene. Like they're just like, hey, we're here to save the humans and, you know, don't damage my property in the process doesn't really, I don't factor in for them.
Yeah. No, life and limb. I don't know, man. That's not, I was like, I don't go to school for that. Do you have to call in the special beekeeper animal division? I don't know.
Well, those guys probably know what to do. The truck driver driving 15 million bees is not prepared for this situation.
Nope.
And neither probably are the paramedics.
No. It's not what they do either. That is wild.
That's the news. Sports Jason is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. You can go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA. Take advantage of their sales in the month of May and get a little extra by using our link, sheetsgiggles.com/SA. That'll get you an extra discount. Applied automatically at checkout. It's also brought to you by BetMGM. You can go to BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app. Get that deal we were talking about earlier. Use our promo code Adjacent1000. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Carlos Frias, Herb Howard, thank you for sitting in this week. You guys were excellent as usual. It proved to be a good combination. Mr. Cool, do you want to say goodbye to the folks? Tell them to come back next week.
I like this podcast. This podcast is a lot of fun. You know, you come here and you make some jokes, and Jason talks about guy who's got a funny name that he makes up, maybe doesn't make up, you know, and Herb has got some good stories.
You
and,
think I make up the news, Mr.
You know, I say you work for the media. The media is always making up things. Guy named Dakota, guy named Montana.
Have you really hung up on that?
I mean, we know Miami, some guy, Tony Montana, that's kind of a name, but a Montana Tony, it's not a name. But bueno, we can do it again. When you tell me another thing, hey, Mr. Cool, you come and we make us some laugh at some things, and you tell us where the crime is, I'll tell you what I know. Have a good time. Sports adjacent. Get your cheese and giggle. It's very soft mattress. I love a cover. I don't use a sheet. You know, my son, he tell me not use the sheet, use the quill. But a cheese and giggle sheet, a sheet and giggle pillow. It's nice, it's spongy pillow. Get the cheese and giggle. You like it very much. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Herb.
Bye, Mr. Cools. Absolute pleasure.
See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.